comes from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to him where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down, and it will be thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." God bless the reading of his holy word. John the Baptist, who was also Jesus's older cousin, came preaching in the desert of Judea. He was not that typical ordinary guy of the day. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness wearing camel's hair and smelling like locusts and honey. John the Baptist broke the silence in the wilderness with a word from God. Perhaps he didn't look like or act like the person we thought would be coming to prepare the way for the Lord. The message didn't come from the synagogues or from the temple school, but from a man whose schooling was only with his walk with God. That's the way he was educated. He had no degree. He had no known pedigree. He just walked with God. John the Baptist very likely had spent a number of years in the desert of Judea with a Jewish sect known as the Essenes. The Essenes were radicals who thought that society was so corrupt that they couldn't live among society, so they separated themselves from society and here and there went into society. They packed up and went off into their own communities. They lived simple lifestyles. Their lifestyles were even similar to those monastic lifestyles that we might think of today. But their time was spent reading the scripture and discussing the scripture. Oh, how we need to be doing that so much more, don't we? Reading and discussing the scripture with one another. They practiced strict moral purity. The focus of their lives was to be ready for Messiah when he might come. Shouldn't the focus of our lives be the same? To be ready for Messiah when he comes again. It might be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be 1,000 years from now, or it may be before we walk out of this place today. Come, Lord Jesus. John the Baptist left his isolated Essene community to tell people everywhere to prepare for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. John was not talking about road construction. He was talking about the preparations of our hearts, our minds, and our lives, preparing ourselves for him. Do we hear the voice calling out to us today? Maybe you find yourself living today in one of those wilderness settings like many we're living in that particular day. That wilderness can be a pretty rotten neighborhood, can't it? It can be a place where we really get frustrated and discouraged. The wilderness, though, that we're talking about today is not a geographical area. It is a spiritual matter. Wilderness can be found in many places and in various forms. Wilderness or life in the desert can be any place where there's danger, confusion, or chaos or ill will. It can be any place that frightens us or troubles us. It can be that place where we cry aloud, wondering if anyone is listening, especially wondering, God, are you listening? It's that place where we feel like running away. It's that place where we might feel like we are prisoners in our own home. It's that place where we feel that we are losing our minds. It's the place that's definitely desolate and lonely. It can be in our own homes where family squabbles are the norm and everything is so chaotic. It can be the state of feeling of and feeding even those lusts and desires and addictions. The wilderness can be that place where we're duking it out with Satan. It can be that place where our relationship with Christ is weak and vulnerable. Some have lived in the wilderness so long that it feels like home. It is familiar. It has become routine. And in a warped sense, it is secure. And in that routine, church can even be included. Maybe even a token Bible reading or reading a devotional. Those kinds of things. But when one has lived in the wilderness so long, it's often difficult to live life in another place, in the place where God wants us to live it. Why do people choose to continue to live defeated lives? Why do people continue to live in abusive situations? Why do people continue in downward spirals? Why else does the alcoholic return to the desert land of the bottle? Why else do people live in situations that are harmful and destructive? It's because it is familiar. And in that familiarity, sometimes we find comfort, again, in a warped sense. Since the wilderness is not a geographical place that needs a road map or a GPS or a MapQuest, you know, it's not one of those places where we can get out of it with those kind of instructions. So how do we get out of the wilderness? We must listen. We must listen. In those desert situations, there's a voice of grace calling out to us. The message of Isaiah and John the Baptist is this: prepare the way of the Lord who is coming into the wilderness areas of your life and who wants to take you to the land of hope. There is a land of hope. You can have hope today, no matter where you are living, no matter what circumstances with which you are dealing, you can have hope. God doesn't necessarily come to change our circumstances or even our situations, but He comes to take us out of the spiritual wilderness. He comes to transform us. He comes to awaken us, and He comes to challenge us not to live in that status quo, mediocre Christian life. He comes us to challenge, comes to challenge us to be like His Son. He comes to be present with us. And when we know that we are not alone, our situations and our circumstances seem less frightening, less lonely, less overwhelming. Many of us read that book, Little Women, when we were younger. Remember when Beth died of scarlet fever? Marmee said to her daughter Jo, when their hearts were heavy with grief and pain, you have to believe there is reason for hope. So carry on, full of hope. She will be there. Now hear those words in reference to Jesus. You have to believe there's reason to hope in Jesus Christ. So carry on, full of hope. Jesus will be there. Jesus is here today. Jesus is with us. The presence of Jesus can transform your wilderness journey. John the Baptist pointed to the way out of wilderness, and look what his message was. The first point, repent. Repent. John the Baptist told the people to repent, to clear out anything that might come between them and God. Is there anything in your life today that's coming between you and God? Repent. Repent is what John says. Repentance comes from that Greek word metanoia, which means a decisive turning, a change of mind, to change one's mind completely. Repentance is like driving down the wrong road and then realizing, oh, I'm going the wrong direction, and making that 180, going in exactly the opposite direction towards Jesus Christ. The word for us today is repent. Come out of the wilderness and allow Christ to be born in you. Allow Jesus Christ to take total possession of you, every area of your life. Allow Christ to be Lord of your life, every single facet of your life. John calls us to face our wanderings from God. He says to us, repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we are challenged. We're challenged by John to confess our sin. What do you need to repent of this day? What do you need? Is it something that you are doing? Or something you are thinking? Perhaps something you're thinking even right now. Something that you're doing to yourself? Something that you're doing to others? Something that you're doing to God's church? Something that you're doing to God's kingdom? Or is it something that you should be doing that you are not doing? Like sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, even during a pandemic. Like reading and studying the Word of God. Like communing with Him in prayer. Is it something? What are those sins you need to confess this day? John's message of repent is a message of hope. We don't have to remain like we are. We can change. We can be different. We don't have to remain in the chaotic, frightening, lonely, and crazy wilderness. We don't have to stay as prisoners in the wilderness of our early failures, of our past sins, of our haunting memories, or those consuming fears. We can repent. We can come out of the wilderness. We can start over because, praise God, He is the God of new beginnings. You know, one of my most favorite things in life to do is to see people get a new start in life, don't you? Like a new beginning in life. And shouldn't we be doing that constantly with people, giving them new beginnings in our lives? That's what happened. That's what happened right here. That's what Jesus does to us. That's what He was doing to those who would listen to John the Baptist, because He is the God of new beginnings. Remember Ebenezer Scrooge and the four spirits who visited him by night? The first visit came from the spirit of that old business partner, Jacob Marley. Marley came clanking into Scrooge's bedroom, dragging his eternal chains with him. Those were chains that he had made link by link. As we think about Jacob Marley, see if you have any of those chains right now. Sin by sin. Every cheating deal and every time he had hurt another person, there was another chain right there. And these chains were the punishment that Marley received from his greedy, narcissistic, and self-serving life. Marley hoped to save Scrooge from sharing the same fate. In a way, Jacob Marley is like John the Baptist. Marley warned Ebenezer Scrooge to change before it was too late. After his visits from Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas to come, Scrooge was changed into a kind person. He was changed from a selfish person into a person who gladly helped other people. Scrooge rushed into the street, hoping to share his newfound Christmas spirit. Lose your chains. Repent. Confess. Come out of the wilderness. What an appropriate way to begin this Advent season. Repenting. Losing our chains. Turning away from sin and turning towards God. And doing that, hope is found. God made a way for hope through repentance. One of my brothers introduced me to this song years ago. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. His words works in ways we can, he works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely by his side. He will make a way. He will make a way. If your road is crooked, Jesus can make it straight. If you're on the wrong track, you can hop off the train and you can get on another track. If you're going the wrong direction, you can make a 180 and turn in the opposite direction. We can't change our past. We can't even change the consequences of past choices or sin. But we do not have to continue to live in the wilderness or to walk down a destructive path. We can repent and we can start again. John offered a baptism signifying repentance as the way in which God can enter our lives, as the way, repentance, as the way out of the wilderness. John was careful, though, to tell the people that repentance was revealed by the fruit of repentance. We can cry and cry and act like we're repentant for 5 minutes, but then the fruit tells if we're really repentant. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you must act like a follower of Jesus Christ. We must act like followers of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist even called the Pharisees and the Sadducees a brood of vipers because they didn't even believe they needed to repent because that they were descendants of Abraham. That's us like today saying, well, my mom and my daddy was a preacher, so I don't have to repent. My cousin was a missionary. My grandma was this. I don't have to repent because I'm already in. It's also like saying I don't need to repent because my name has been on the church roll for so long. The call to repentance is for all people. Yes, even people in the church. John promised the people more than baptism with water because John was pointing beyond himself. John knew it was not about himself. John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make the paths straight. John said, the one who comes after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. We are not worthy. We are not worthy to carry the sandals of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, I have baptized you with water. But he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John's whole focus, his whole point to us, was to point to the one. To point to Jesus Christ, the one who was coming. He wanted to prepare the people to accept Jesus as God's Son. He pointed to Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you and me to offer us grace and mercy and eternal life. John was sent by God to make sure that we did not miss Jesus. John came to point us to the news that the Son, born into the family of a humble virgin and a Jewish carpenter, is the Son of God. He came to tell us that his name is Jesus and that he saves. John came to tell us that Jesus Christ is the only hope for those who wander in the wilderness and the only hope to know hope and peace and joy and love. Our purpose in life is to point people to Jesus Christ. Are you pointing people to Jesus by your words, by your actions? Are you pointing people to Jesus? When our lives point to Jesus, we no longer live in the wilderness, but we live in the kingdom of God, where we truly belong, and where the light of the world and the salt of the earth needs to be shared everywhere. That's what we are. We are the light of the earth, light of the world. We are the salt of the earth because we are Christians. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are the hope to point people to Jesus in this world. Now, God can do it any way he chooses to do it. He can zap people with the gospel, but that's not the way he's chosen. He's chosen to use you and me. All those of you who are listening, besides even in this sanctuary, he's chosen all of us to point others to Jesus Christ. The world needs the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's our turn to continue John's message by preparing and paving the way for God's purposes. Our world needs a fresh introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I are the ones to point them to Jesus. People need Jesus. Cities need Jesus. Unreached and unengaged people need Jesus. Schools and universities need Jesus. The political arena needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. God made a way out of the wilderness for you and me and for everyone who wants out. And God made a way through Jesus Christ. Repent. Point others to Jesus. Repent. Point others to Jesus. I hope you go forth with those words today. Repent. Point others to Jesus. Will you come out of your wilderness today if that's where you were living? Will you tell and show others how to come out of the wilderness? There is great hope. Will you choose hope? Let us pray. Father, we know that you have called your people not to live in the wilderness or in the desert, but in the fertile lands. Father, we know that you have come into our world and that you are coming into many lights, in many lives. And we pray, Father, that our lights as Christian would shine brightly so that other people could see the life of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ living in us. Father, we pray that you would search us all this day, see if there is any offensive way, and lead us in the way everlasting. Father, we also pray that we would go forth from here, pointing others to Jesus Christ. Father, may we not use the pandemic or fear as an excuse, but may we point others to Jesus in the way that you have called us to do. Father, thank you that you're coming again. Father, my prayer is that everyone here would be ready for that. We pray for everyone in our families, everyone in our lives to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. Father, we know that it's not your will for people to perish and live in everlasting hell, because we know it is your desire for all people to live in communion with you. Father, that is our desire. Father, for those people that may be on our minds and on our hearts right now, we pray that we'd be like John the Baptist this week or this day, and we'd go point them to Jesus. Father, we know that's what you've called us to do. May we repent. May we point others to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.